Well, I would appreciate your prayers. I do have a thought, but I need the Lord to help me. Thinking about the Apostle Paul, before he was Paul, we all know that he was a man named Saul. He was seemed to be a very zealous man. He felt he had a duty to stamp out this new religion sect that was called Christians. And he went out it with a passion, it seemed. And I can't help from thinking that he was convinced he was right. Because how could you do the kind of things he was doing unless you was convinced you was right? So he was convinced that he was right. And he had the authority to do it. And he felt like it was the will of God to do it. And he was wrong. And this story, to me, is one of the great stories of the Bible that shows us the redemption of God and the power of God's grace to change a person. So I want to pick up the thought starting with in Acts, the 9th chapter. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now, that suggests to me that the high priest wasn't looking for Paul to ask him if he would. It puts a light on it that Paul went to them. He had this in his heart. And he later testified that he done it ignorantly and was doing it for God. He thought this was the will of God. This is amazing to me because we need the Lord to help us to be able to know who we are, to be able to change us, no matter of debate or figuring or those kind of things seem to work. But the Lord loved this man, and he loved him enough to follow after him, to pursue him, to make a difference in his life. He went and he wanted letters. He wanted the authority on him to be able to do his will concerning these other people. But you know, God wants something for your lives more than you even know that you want or you understand that you want. What God wants is he wants us to be fulfilled and happy. He knows that only God does that. We can put all the pretenses in life that we think does that, but ultimately, the only fulfillment really in human life is the relationship with God. I believe that. And God knows what it is that makes people happy. He knows how to fulfill them in life. And so, Paul is doing what seems to be fulfilling him. He's got a drive to do something here. Think about it. Do you think it really was fulfilling and happy? Paul, are you really happy to persecute these poor innocent people? You think that really would make you happy? Listen to the 8th verse, the 8th chapter, just a minute of Acts, the 2nd verse. Now let me see. Maybe it's the 3rd verse. It says, "And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women committed him to prison. But Paul, does that make you happy? I mean, think about it. Going into somebody's house, dragging both men and women out. He didn't say anything about the children, but if you have men and women and children involved, isn't there? You only have to look into the faces of innocent little children being scared. That must be a real fulfilling thing to do. You think that that kind of... Do you know what Paul must have been feeling in his heart to make him be want to? He wanted to. He went to the high priest to get permission because he wanted to do it. He was feeling some kind of hatred or burning desire in his heart. You may think it made him do well. Have you ever felt hate? Have you ever been tempted to hate someone or to have hard feelings? You ever felt what, you know what it feels like inside to have those feelings? Paul, is that really what's going to make you happy? You're really fulfilled to go in people's houses, in the privacy of their houses, drag out innocent men and women, women too, women, children, young people, drag them out and send them to prison, beat them, persecute them, kill them. That gonna make you happy? You know, God was interested in this man, Saul, even though he was seemed to be so reprobate. He was the number one enemy of the church. And God wanted to make him happy. He wanted to change him. And what a story that he did. It says, and as he sojourned, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him, about him, a light from heaven. God arrested him. Paul was going on. He was going to go on, and he had ripped people from their homes. He had beat them, sent them to prison. They'd killed them. They'd done all these things, and he was on his merry way to fulfill his desire and do what he was going to do, and God arrested him right there on the road to Damascus. Isn't it our prayer that God would arrest our loved ones? When we see them going astray, going away, isn't it our prayer that we pray, Lord, arrest them. Stop them in their course. Do whatever. Wouldn't it be wise, and isn't it? Shouldn't it be our prayer for ourselves?
Yes, Lord.
Lord, arrest me. Arrest me when I'm going the own way, when I'm trying to fulfill or make myself happy in my own way. It's not going to work. I'm not going to be happy. Lord, arrest me. Stop me. The Lord had his way with Saul and stopped him. And he saw a great light. That was a unique way of doing it, I'll admit. But God has a unique way of arresting every one of us. And it ought to be our prayers. Lord, arrest us. Stop us in our course. We're headlong sometimes. We won't change. Arguments won't do it. Nothing will do it. But Lord, you can do it. Stop us. Stop us in our course. Stop us from going down that wrong road that we're going to go down. Arrest us. And He arrested him. He stopped him. Stop, Saul, right here. You stop. You know, sometimes in our lives, we hear of sudden calamities that happen that stop us. That we have to stop. All of a sudden, life isn't what life was. And now what I look and thought enjoyment was going to be, or what the next day, it doesn't hold the same thing. When I get that devastating phone call, I may have had planned of a fine picnic on a sunny day, but somehow that fried chicken just don't taste the same now. Somehow the idea that I'm going to go and play a game or do an activity, or I'm going to listen, watch, do whatever that I had planned to do, it just don't have the same flavor anymore that it had. Because God stopped me and brought seriousness there. And I had to say, Lord, arrest us. Arrest us when we need arrested. Stop us. Here goes Saul, convinced that he's doing... What do you think it would have took to convince this man that he wasn't doing the will of God? Do you ever do the will of God? Who could convince you that you're not doing the will of God? Who could have told Saul, Saul, that is not will of God. He could argue you the Old Testament scriptures through and through and how it was the will of God to stone these people and do the things that they done. He held the coats of the one that stoned Stephen and was glad to get rid of this heretic called Stephen. Glad of it. But do you think that really made him happy? I wonder what it really was doing to him. Jesus, or the scripture goes on, and he fell down to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now there's some real points to this. There's a reason to say Saul to begin with. He brings it personal now. When the Lord speaks your name, now it's personal, but to say it twice is to get a real emphasis on Saul, Saul. Why are you persecuting me? As a side note, and it's an encouragement, should be an encouragement to all of us. He said, why persecutest thou me? He takes the persecution of his people as his own persecution. When he was persecuting his people, persecuting him. And thus we can take the same privilege that when I as a follower of the Lord, when someone's touching me, I know they're touching my Lord. I know they're touching him. He doesn't go untouched. He's being touched. Why are you persecuting me? Well, I'm not persecuting you. Who are you? Well, he says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? It's interesting, this word Lord put in our translation really just means sir. He didn't call him master. He didn't call him savior. He called him sir. Who are you, sir? Who's talking? What's going on? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus from whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now the idea of the pricks, we probably have all heard this, but the idea of the pricks came from the idea of a person that would work with oxen, and they would have them hooked to a plow or cart or whatever the oxen was pulling or working and doing. And he had a goad, very sharp, sometimes with a metal point, sometimes just sharpened wood. And when the oxen needed to pick up his step, when he needed to pull harder or whatever he was doing, he didn't drive it all the way through his leg. He just simply pricked him with it. And it was a reminder to the oxen. That's what it was. It was a persuasion is what it was. A persuasion. It didn't feel good. If it felt good, it wouldn't have been a persuasion. It was a persuasion that you need to get going. And the Lord says to Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Saul? I can't help from thinking that he wasn't talking about this moment, which just was a prick. But I can't help from thinking that the language suggests to me that there's something that Saul understood here, like Nathaniel. Like those before that the Lord had dealings with that wasn't expressed in the scriptures exactly, but the expression is there. Paul's hard for you to get against pricks, and I know what you're talking about. Doesn't express it. But do you think that maybe the Lord did suggest to Paul in the middle of the nights after he had done a good day's work and I got rid of a whole bunch of Christians today and laid his head down on his pillar, you maybe even that Jesus didn't visit him and say, Saul, how do you feel? Do you feel good about it? Does the eyes of that child's tear, the tears of that child, does it touch you, Saul? Saul, do you have a heart in you? What are you becoming? What are you doing? I don't know. You have to give me liberty here. But do you think Saul was happy with what he was doing? You remember the scripture where there was a woman caught in the act of adultery? And these men were around and they asked Jesus about the situation. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now our law says is that she's been to be stoned to death. What sayest thou? Jesus didn't say anything, you remember? He bends down and starts writing on the ground. And then he gets up and says to the men, you without sin, cast the first stone. I wonder if you couldn't also interpret it and say, if it makes you happy, if it fulfills you, stone her. Are you going to be happy stoning her to death? Is this what's going to fulfill you to go on in your way? They look down and obviously most scholars and most people think that he had written their lives out down there. He had written their sins out. And they, when they looked from the oldest to the youngest, they looked at what he had done and what he said. And every one of them knew, this ain't going to make me happy. This isn't what's going to fulfill me now. He arrested them. They was going to stone her to death. But how could you stone this poor woman to death knowing that you're guilty of the same things? Can you be happy? Could you be fulfilled in life? Is it what's really going to make you what you should be? I pray, Lord, arrest us in our course. Arrest us when our ideas are taking us away from being happy in the Lord and being happy in life. I may get the best of you because I'm more clever, but is it going to make me happy? I may get the best of you because I'm stronger and have better fortitude than you do, but is it going to make me happy? Is it going to be the real genuine satisfaction of life? Over and over you see these elements played out. There was another scene. Mary and Martha. Martha says to the Mary's at the Lord's feet listening to his words, and Martha comes and says, Master, carest not that my sister sits here doing nothing while I labor? Instruct her to help me. Martha, Martha. Are you going to be happy at the end of it? You get your way. Martha gets up and she helps you, and at the end of it, you're going to be just as miserable as you've ever been. No, instead of doing that, he arrested Martha. Martha, Martha. You're cumbered about much? You're not going to be happy at the end of your cumbernous life? Just putting all this into your life? No, Martha. You're going to have something different. You're not going to be happy with that. Nobody is. Nobody ever is. So here in this, he says to him, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. Then what are the pricks of life for? They're the reminders. They are... The idea was is that what happens, and there is many, many people to their own detriment, kick against the pricks of the Lord. I'd be willing to say that the Lord's goads are very busy today. I think the Lord loves each and every one of us, and He is busy prodding. He's busy with, you may say, why didn't that work out for me? Maybe. It was just the prick. It is very unhappy state to kick against God's pricks. The idea is that the ox is going along, and for whatever ox's minds are, I don't know. Maybe he gets a little lackadaisical in his step. He's not pulling good. And so there's a reminder behind him. Pick it up. Now, his response can be rebellious. And he starts rebelling. He starts backing up. Well, the one with the goad goads harder. He backs into the goad harder. He goes harder. And to his own detriment, he hurts himself. Then the more rebellious he becomes, the more he hurts himself. I remember seeing this video of a sea lion that had got, when it was young, had swum through and got a nylon net around its neck. And as the sea lion grew up, it didn't chuck that off. And the net, it was a regular nylon net that was around its neck. And when it was little, it fit. And as the sea lion grew and grew and grew, it didn't expand the net, and the nylon began to cut in until this nylon net is cutting off and killing this big sea lion. And these people that were rescuers of such things, seeing this sea lion in this situation, and then they say, we need to get that off in whatever way. We've got to catch it and get it off. I know sea lions have no ability to know this. But the sea lion fought. I think that's the way people are, with nooses around them, with hamstrung about things and not able to go and do those things. They fight against everything God wants to try to do to eliminate their problem, to take the suffering away, to make them happy. This sea lion was in a miserable, miserable situation. They caught him, arrested him, held him down, clipped it off, and was able to set him free, and he was much better for it than he would have ever been. And I think many times of how, if we're not careful, we're kicking against the very thing. The Lord don't want us to kick against these things. There's a time that the Lord wants us to just say, as the man named Saul did. He come to this point. It's hard for thee to kick against the prince. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, not sir, Lord, master, what will thou have me to do? Instead of backing up and kicking and causing injuries and stuff to ourselves, rebellion. A rebellious attitude towards God never works. It's a rebellion against authority. We see it all the time. It is a detriment to our lives. What would you have me to do, Lord? You know, when we look around and things aren't going well and we feel like that I'm being pricked by this and pricked by that, you know, it would be just a real good time to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is it that... And you'll find out, I believe, that you're on a road of unhappiness. You're on a road that will never end in the right way. And the Lord is trying to arrest you. Paul's life was not perfect in the flesh. But do you think when he laid hands on people and they recovered their sight, do you think he might have been happy at night? How fulfilled do you think it might have been when he preached and saw people that was bound by the chains of the enemy and spirits released and was able to function again? Do you think that he might have been fulfilled when he was able to preach the gospel to people that was bound hard in sin and they were set free? Do you think maybe that you would have said he could have laid down on his bed at night and been happy and been thankful for the life that he had? But if he kicks against the pricks, he's going to be fighting against everything that the Lord is intending on trying to get to him. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord then told him that he was supposed to do. There was another man, you remember him? He was a little man. Jesus was coming by, and this little man, he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbs up in his sycamore tree. And he's watching for the Lord to go by. Now, this was Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus, wee little man. Wee little man was he. This little man climbs up in his tree to watch the Lord goes by. And he was a tax collector. And no doubt he was also, if you read in between the lines, he wasn't always honest about it. And he kind of manipulated and done things like that. He wasn't very popular and had those things. And along comes Jesus. And of all the people that was around him, that may have been worthy, Jesus comes to arrest a wee little man. Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down out of there. You're on a course. Zacchaeus. How you sleeping? Are you happy that you stole the little widow's tax money? How about the widow with the four little children that's going hungry that you took their extra money? Feel good? You feel good? You happy about that? Yeah, you can buy you some new stuff. Are you happy? Does it really fulfill you to do that and be that? Well, what about it, Zacchaeus? Come on down out of the tree. I'm going to your house. I'm going to go to your house. I'm stopping you in your normal course. Your normal course, you're just going to go along. You're just going to keep going along. And the only thoughts that you can have is how do I fulfill Zacchaeus' life? How do I get the most that I can get? How can I have the things that I want to have? Live in the kind of place I want to live in? How can I do that? I can manipulate, cheat, do these things. Do that, and along comes Jesus and says, Zacchaeus, come out of there. I'm going to your house. Something about Jesus when he comes by. Zacchaeus comes out of there saying, if I've wronged anybody. Now, I think this is a funny expression. I ain't sure I did, but if I wronged anybody. I mean, you know, if he hadn't wronged anybody, he wouldn't have said, if I wronged anybody. If he didn't wrong anybody, he'd say, well, I haven't wronged anybody. He'd been like the rich young ruler. He'd have just said, I've followed this all my life. I didn't steal, I didn't cheat, I didn't do all that. What do I lack? He wasn't saying, what do I lack? He said, if I stole from anybody, I'll pay him back fourfold. You know you did, Zacchaeus. And you're not happy about it either. No, I'm not. It doesn't lead to it, and it never will. I can't be trusted, and I know it. And because I can't be trusted, I have a problem trusting everybody else. I think everybody's going to cheat me. And I'm not happy. That's right. But the Lord comes by and says, and arrests him right there. You know, it's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story that Jesus arrests us. He loves us enough to stop us in our course, in speaking to the rich young ruler. A rich young ruler comes to the Lord and says, what must I do to be saved? You remember the story? He needs arrested. He's on a course of religious pride. I do these things. No doubt he'd done them. I don't doubt that he had done them. He tried to, yeah, he was successful as much as a man could be. He'd done these things. He says, what do I lack? And the Lord was faithful to him and loved him and arrested him and said, you lack something. I'm going to stop you in your course. Want to attempt to? You need to go sell all you have. Don't kick against the pricks. Can I tell you the life you're leading is not going to lead you to a life of happiness? You are not going to be led to a life of fulfillment. Oh, Jesus could have made this argument to him as he walked away sad. Jesus could have said, no. Come back a minute. Let me ask you something. If you're fulfilled, why did you come? Right? Why did you ask me, what do you lack? If you don't feel like you lack something, I just gave you the answer to your lack. I just gave you something to make you happy. And you're kicking against the pricks. You're going against what I'm doing that. And you're never going to be... You'll be able to outdo, you can buy, you can do that, you can do anything, but you can't buy happiness. And you won't buy fulfillment either. Another man in the Bible, I can't believe that he was satisfied. He comes to the Lord by night. Sneaks in. He had to talk to the Lord. Remember that? Nicodemus. And Jesus starts talking to Nicodemus about the things that he should have known. He arrested him right there. This was a Pharisee. This was somebody that had a religion, a dogma, all of these things. He had peer pressure. He had all these things. And Jesus did not just wash it over. He arrested him. Nicodemus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, how that must have arrested his heart. Of all the legalistic ideas, of all the rules, the laws, all the ways of living, all the sacrifices, all the do's and don'ts, all of that. And He simplified it down in my heart that rings over and over and over, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He arrested him. Nicodemus! You know, don't kick against the pricks that the Lord brings when He tries to arrest us in our course. I think He'll be faithful to do it to each and every one of us. I think I've seen it times in my life, and I'm thankful for them, and I can look back at them. And I've testified to them here before. I remember some of the arresting that the Lord did for me. It won't work for everybody, but the Lord knows me. One time it was in Elkins, and I knocked the gas meter off over there. He said, well, things happen. Things happen, sure enough. And that was God arresting me. I want to get your attention with something. Boy, did He get my attention with something. I felt it all the way through. Lord, I know I need You. I know. This is out of control. I need You. Another time was when the window frame come off down those humps there, and the cars was running over the window frame and tires was being punctured, and God had arrested me with that. I was in a frantic place of being helpless with something, and I realized my helplessness in it. And it brought me back. It brought me back into a right stand, a right place. It wasn't that I was wrong. I'm just saying that I was veering. I was veering away into my own way. And the Lord arrested me and brought me back. And after it's over, it's always a thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for arresting me. I thank You for that goad. When I feel the goad, I need to say, Lord, what would You have me to do? That goad's to make me pick up pace. The goat's to make you pray better and pray harder. It's to make you to be more diligent. It's not to back into. More I go back into it, the more it hurts. The more I want to back in and say, no, I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. No, it's to say, Lord, what would You have me do? It's to be arrested and changed and altered of the course we're going. And it's for a reason. That course, when the Lord starts arresting, that course is going to be a miserable course. That is not going to be a happy way to go at all. And in the scriptures, those that did those things, I mean, Peter has the idea that somehow or another that you could fight this battle with a sword. And he pulls a sword out. And is going to fight the enemy with a sword. And Jesus tells him, Peter, put your sword up. It ain't the battle. This is not the battle. And to prove it farther, he takes and puts the guy's ear and heals his ear. Peter. I think Peter was one that needed arrested time and time again. Going to arrest you again, Peter. Going to have to talk with you and deal with you. And here, as I said before, was one of the most impressive scriptures in the Bible to me of a man that was altered and changed from the worst enemy of the church that in time to come would be its biggest benefactor. It would be his blesser. He fought with the same diligence he fought against it. He fought the same spiritual battle for it. He gave his whole heart and mind. He gave everything after he was arrested. changed and made to understand. He was told, what a beautiful story. Maybe there's hope for me. Maybe if he can do that with Paul, maybe he can do it with me too. Maybe he can arrest me. You know that people misunderstand this. Paul wasn't immediately that powerful apostle. It didn't go from day one. There was time elapsed here. He went away. He done. God worked and changed and all and made something of Paul. He was on the wrong course, and Paul, he made something that he could be noble and honorable with. He no longer was killing anybody. He wouldn't hurt anybody after this. He understood something, and the power of God was with him. You remember the things that that God worked through him? It was amazing life. He had grace. Now here was a man that couldn't stand it, have to go get papers to try to destroy somebody, and then he gets to be the man that said that I find that whatever state I am, to therewith be content. He found himself being in chains, Roman chains, and in prison, and found the grace of God to write blessings out from that position. Altered totally and changed. And if I may say so, I believe fulfilled and happy. I think he could lay down without guilt on him. I think he could change. He was changed from the view that he had and the way he was arrested right there at that time. And I want to say this. This is a meaningful time. You want prayer meetings to be more meaningful? You want things to that? This arresting is what it is. Paul was not ashamed to tell this was the beginning phase, and I don't think the scripture even comes close to telling it. It tells in there different times that he said, and I was on the road to Damascus, and he gives, I think he told the same thing to Agrippa. I believe it was in one of those that he told it. He told it in another place. He tells, he told his story. I don't think the scripture even gets close to how many times he really told it. I think to every city and town and place and persons he went, when they wanted to know who what are you about, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And I met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He arrested me. And he changed me. I persecuted the church. I was the chief of sinners. I've done all these things. And the Lord Jesus arrested me. There was a great light. And he spoke to me. I think he told that over and over. I think he told where he went. This is the power of his experience. God had done this for me. He changed me. And maneuvered in my life. He made me from being a persecutor and an evil man that hurt women and children and all this, to a man that wouldn't hurt a fly. Well, he'd hurt a fly. I'd hurt a fly. But he wouldn't hurt people. He wouldn't hurt anything. Understand what? Because he was arrested. Don't kick against the pricks. Let's not kick against the pricks. That's only hurting ourselves. The Lord's pricks is valuable. We should always desire. I know it ain't good for the flesh. The flesh recoils. But we should always have in our spirits, please, Lord, please, let me feel your pricks. Let me feel that you're still there. Working with me. Help me if I start to go the wrong way, please stop me. Help me in some way. I remember this was not a night dream. It wasn't a night vision. I just remember a strong thought and vision that come to my mind one day. I remember it just come to my thinking and my vision, this vision of being before the Lord in judgment and the Lord saying, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I said, but Lord, couldn't you have done anything to have saved me? And in my vision, the Lord says, yes, I could have sent you some trouble, but you didn't want it. And I remember my dream saying, no, Lord. I'll take it. I'll take it. Arrest me. Arrest me. Send me trouble. Send me something. Just stop me. Arrest me. That is the beautiful picture to me of the Apostle Paul, who was a very evil man persecuting the church, who was arrested and changed and altered for the glory of God. If he can do that for Paul, he can do it for Marty. You pray for me.